But instead, I'm going to do Matthew this week, and you'll see why in a little bit. And if I were to have a title of this, I'd say this is the story of good news in troubled times. There's a when we get into the book of Matthew and when he records the birth of the Messiah, there's some interesting subjects that he talks about in there, and we'll get into that in a minute. First, I want to tell you, because this is going to get a little bit tough, I think. But I really love Christmas. I mean, I really do. I don't want to make this thing a bummer. We have sweet memories as a kid. I'll tell you the one story that we used to have this thing. It was about this big. We'd set it up every Christmas. When I look back at it, it was really kind of odd. It was this little thing that was covered with white cotton, so it looked like snow. We had this little church, and we had little angels out in front. And then we had bubble lights around it, which was really odd, you know. And then we'd bet on which bubble light would go on first. And then once all the bubble lights were on, yeah, gambling on Christmas. And then we would we'd all and crank the thing on, and it had Silent Night, and we'd all sing Silent Night, Holy Night. There was only one person in my family that could sing. That was my mom. So it was really awful. I mean, when I think about it, the singing was really not good. But it was a really nice memory. And then when we moved away, it was like we were going to fight over who was going to get this thing. You know, I don't even know who got it because it was really kind of odd. No, we didn't get it. We didn't get it. I think Diane had something to do with that because it was odd. No. Then, you know, as we moved on, we used to go up to Chicago every year, you know. After we had Jonathan, we were like, we ain't doing this anymore, you know, dragging all the kids, and it was snowing and blah, blah, blah. So now we have our own Christmas kind of memories, and I didn't ask Diane about her memories, but now our memories, it's funny, as I started thinking about it, a lot of it revolves around food. You know, we have chicken buns. Has anybody ever had our chicken buns? Yeah, they're really good. Huh? No, it's a special Christmas thing. So if you come over for Christmas, you might get chicken buns. And then we have these muffins that Steve told me about. The muffins we had, remember the last? Steve has different memories of those muffins, but we have these Christmas muffins. We have this super nacho dip. So anyway, there's a lot of it revolves. And then the other thing that kind of freaked me out about when I joined, you know, we got married and have another, went over to the Petersons' house for Christmas. When they open presents, there's like paper everywhere. They leave it all out. I mean, it's like the next and I'm thinking, we're going to throw some of these things away. When we had our Christmas at my house, we took the paper away and then opened the next present. So anyway, so now we have paper everywhere, and that's kind of part of the memories, and you slog through all this paper. And who gets to be Santa Claus? Every year we go through this. It's like, okay, who? No one wants to. No. So anyway, so there's really good, you know, these are really good memories. Now we have to share our Christmas with Kim's family, you know. So it's like we're at the other end of the spectrum, which is, and it happens before you know it, doesn't it? I mean, anyway. As I was thinking through this, and I'm going to get it, I want to get into what's been on the news lately. A couple days ago, I saw Bill O'Reilly had his, what's that reporter's name that goes out? Walker, whatever his name is. He goes out and interviews people on the street. And they were interviewing people about Christmas. And they asked them several real simple questions about Christmas. Where was Jesus born? One lady, and they don't know if she was kidding or not, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. No, they don't know if the guy was pulling their leg or what. But then, what was really funny was, what did the three kings bring? You know, and they could guess gold, frankincense. You know, they were going through it. Then, Bill O'Reilly gets into this with the interviewer saying, "These people don't know what the three kings brought." And I was like, Bill, you ought to read the story. It doesn't say three kings. Right? Doesn't say three kings. Everybody thinks it. They say tradition thinks it. They think it was three kings because there were three presidents. People don't in the Middle East. They don't travel from Arabia across the desert with three people. You know, I mean. I started thinking, Bill. I wanted to again. I haven't done this, but I wanted to email him and say, you know, read the story, dude, because it wasn't three kings. It was Magi. That's all it says. I've been listening to that, and then this thing in Connecticut. You know, when I go, that's why I said, I have great memories of Christmas, you know. There's a bunch of people that aren't going to have such great memories. There's people in here that, you know, my dad died on December 1st. For years, I could hardly talk about it. And it kind of changed Christmas for a while. And I thought, you talk about troubled times. You know, can you imagine? We cannot imagine. And then I heard, did anybody see the president? You know, and it was good. It was really actually very good. Until the very end when he talked about how we got to fix this. The government don't fix things like this. But he quoted out of the Psalms that God would heal brokenhearted, which is amazing. And he talked about praying and God and quoting the Psalms. So that's a good thing. I just saw an interview this morning by Ed Young. He's the pastor at the fellowship.com. And the question was, where is God in this? I thought, how would I answer that? How would you answer that? And I think there is an answer. I think there is an answer. And we'll get into it out of this story. And then I saw Huckabee on TV. Apparently he got blasted for saying, you know, we've kicked God out of the schools, out of our society, out of the public conversation, and then when this happens, we bring him back and blame him. Isn't Christmas fun? No, and the reason I jumped to Matthew is because when we look at what Matthew says in his gospel, we find ourselves that the story revolves around Jesus and four dreams. Four dreams. Three of the dreams are to Joseph, and one is to the Magi. And it's really good news, and it's in verses 18 through 23, in troubled times, because it says in there, Jesus, I'll read it. Let me turn to Matthew chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 18 through 23. And this is really kind of the good news. But we have kind of sanitized this whole thing of Christmas, you know, and made it, and I know you know the story more than, you know, how the society portrays it. But this was troubled. Joseph was, let me read it, and listen to what it says. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. My sister one time went to Willow Creek to see their Christmas pageant, and she called me up right afterwards, was so mad about it, because they portrayed it, and this is trying to make it, you know, like bring it into our society. Mary was a Hispanic inner city girl. Joseph was black. You know, I don't know what the camels were, but I mean, my sister was so, why do they have, I mean, she was a Jewish white girl. You know, she wasn't, and for a Jewish white girl to be found with child is troubled times. You know, in those days, they could have had her stoned and bring Joseph along and have him stoned. So this is not like, you know, we kind of forget. This wasn't some little Hispanic inner city girl that people wouldn't be surprised. So Joseph's sitting there like, what do I do? And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. Kind of tells you the heart of the guy and lady that God chose. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel, this is the first dream. And it's really interesting. After every one of these dreams, and each one of these dreams becomes a fulfillment of a prophecy. Anyway, he appeared in a dream saying to Joseph, Joseph, son of David. And this is loaded, son of David. We just, you know, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bear a son. This is the good news. And she shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. And I was, and some of this I got out of, I was listening to John Ortberg. This is like, prior to this, that there was a hope, that there was a way to save people from their sin. Before it was like, you had, every time you sinned, you were supposed to bring a sacrifice. There was never this thing where it would be finally done. So in this few little verses, there's God giving Joseph hope. Not only that his wife is okay, that you are a righteous man and you will be okay. And the world will be okay through what's about to happen. Now they have to go through a lot to get there. Now, verse 22. Now all this took place that was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. And this is God, he's still in the dream, that it might be fulfilled. So this is the fulfillment of a prophecy that's in verse 23. Behold, the virgin will be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, being translated God with us. And Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took her as his wife, and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. I mean, this is not the sanitized version of this story. This is a fearful man that had a dream, that God, you know, he had to come to him and say, don't be afraid, Joseph. It will be okay. This is part of my plan. You know, and I guess if I had a dream like that, you know, I hopefully would listen. I mean, I wanted to tell, this is kind of an aside story. I think I told some of you this. I was driving in my car the other day, and I stopped at a light. And I was praying about something. I don't even remember what I was praying about, but I was like trying to make a decision. And then all of a sudden I heard in the car, wait. It was so weird that I turned around. I was like, then I heard it again. Wait. And I heard it again. And I'm like, I have never heard an audible voice, I got to tell you. I rolled down my window, and it was the crossing guard thing at on the street that would, you know, wait, telling people, blind people, not to walk across the street. I was like, I guess it, you know, I'm not Joseph, so it wasn't a dream. I really thought that I've never heard an audible voice, and now I'm hearing one. Joseph had a real dream. And then, that's the good news, that she will bear a son, and his name will be Jesus. And it is he who will save his people from their sin. That's the good news. Then Matthew records this, and this is let me read verses 1 through 6. And now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, so he doesn't tell a whole lot. You know, he doesn't tell how they got there. That's all in Luke. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, and here's the kicker, in the days of Herod the king, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." More bad news. And when Herod the king heard it, he was troubled. Some translations say he was disturbed. This is a problem. And all Jerusalem with him. This was not like great news. You know, these. And gathering all together the chief priests and the scribes of the people, Herod, began to inquire of them, where is the Christ to be born? And they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it has been written by the prophet, 'You, O Bethlehem, land of Judea, art by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" There's this, when we read in the days of Herod, we got, you know, I've heard a little bit about Herod, but let me just, and you can look this up. You can do Wikipedia, some of, you know, and I know, you know, you don't want to believe everything on the internet, but Herod was, most people think he was Arab by birth. He was religiously a Jew. He was, spoke Greek and was appointed by Rome. He kind of had this eclectic thing. He was kind of like a typical politician, tried to please everybody. He was declared by Rome. He went back and forth from Rome, and when there was a revolution, he had to go back, and then they sent him back there. But he was, you know what his name, what the Rome called him? King of the Jews. That was his title, King of the Jews. So all of a sudden, these Magi come to him and say, "Hey, we got great news. We saw the star in the east, and we came to worship the King of the Jews." And Herod was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. Now, why would Jerusalem be disturbed? Here's what we get mad at our politicians. This guy was a nut. He had 10 or 11 wives. His most favorite wife, Miriam, he was suspicious of, you know, and he ends up killing her. Well, if you kill her, he must have had real mother-in-law problems because he kills her mother. Be careful. He kills their two sons. Now, if you heard that coming out of Washington, there would be a revolution. This guy was a nut. Then he builds the temple, you know, to kind of please the Jews. Buy them off. Well, build a temple for them. Then he puts a golden eagle on the top of it in the front entrance or something like that. The Jews get all mad. This was like an unclean animal. So they go in the middle of the night, and somebody tears it off. So he gets mad at all those, rounds up a bunch of people that he thought might have done it, and kills all them. So when we read this and it says, well, when Herod heard it, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem, well, Jerusalem's looking around. Herod's mad. This ain't good. Because he's going to start rounding people up and killing them. How'd you like to be the, when he says he gathered the chief priests and the scribes, that when they got called in there, this was not a, you know, Merry Christmas. This was trouble. What if he kills us if we give him the wrong information? You know, he killed most of his predecessors. I mean, Google it sometime and you'll see what a nut this guy was. And he was called Herod the Great because he built the temple, bought the Jews off because they built it. And that's what, I think, isn't the Wailing Wall part of what, yeah, that's part of the Herod's temple, of what's left. It was the temple that was destroyed in 70 AD when the Romans came in and said, enough. On his deathbed, he rounded up a bunch of Jews in Jerusalem and had them all killed because he wanted people to weep when he died. He wanted weeping in Jerusalem. Aren't you glad we got a... makes our president look really good. No, I mean really, I mean, when we talk about that, I mean, I'm like, well, please, you know. Josephus, the Roman historian, wrote, Herod never stopped avenging and punishing every day those who chose to be a party of his enemies. When Matthew writes, and Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. These weren't happy days. This wasn't Merry Christmas. This was trouble. Good news in troubled times. Verse 7, let me read 7 through 12. Then Herod secretly called the Magi. He hears that, you know, the Magi come to him. They want to know where the king of the Jews are. And then Herod secretly called the Magi and ascertained from them the time of the star appeared. And there's a whole thing in here about the timing of this, okay? Because from here on, Jesus is called a child, not an infant. Most people think this might have been a couple years later, and we'll see why. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go. And you can just hear this syrupy, what? Go to Bethlehem. Go and make careful search for the child. And when you have found him, report to me, that I too may go and worship him. And having heard the king, they went their way, and lo, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, until it came and stood over where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. This is him. So this story, I mean, emotional and ups and downs. And when they came to the house, they saw the child and Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they presented to him the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Second dream. And we're going to explain... It's really a fulfillment. So they get scared. And it's kind of interesting. These guys were non-Israeli. They weren't Jews. God even used them and said to them, don't go back. Don't go tell Herod. And then verses 13 through 18, this is the second dream, and it's another fulfillment. And John Ortberg in this sermon said, and I don't know, I think it's O Holy Night, all was not calm in Bethlehem. All was not bright. If you lived in Bethlehem at this time, that was not your memory of the birth of Jesus. And now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph again in a dream, saying, arise and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. I mean, we kind of forget. I mean, we know the story, but yikes. Where is God in this? And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. And when you think about Joseph, now he's this righous guy. He had the first dream, fortunately, told him, go ahead, marry Mary. it's okay. Now he had to leave his hometown, go to Bethlehem because of the thing. Now he's probably not looked at so much as a righteous man anymore by the world. And now he has to go to Egypt. Now he has to be a foreigner in some foreign land. It's kind of like, why didn't you tell me this in the first part of the dream? Arise, and he says he took him and went to Egypt and was there until the death of Herod. That was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, might be fulfilled, saying, out of Egypt I will call my son. Another dream, another fulfillment. Lord, why do I have to go there? Because I'm in the middle of this. And out of Egypt I will call my son. Verse 16, and then when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged and sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its environs from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he has ascertained from the Magi. Then that which was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. Another fulfillment. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they were no more. I read one commentary. This was almost spooky. When they thought, and now Bethlehem was little. It was a little town. It was like different views of how many people lived there. But the first commentary I read said they think it was about 20 kids. I mean, I was like, so I mean, we have pretty much sanitized this. And when I say, and where was God in this? I think, or I have an answer in the end. But even, I mean, the horror of people that lived in Bethlehem. Then in chapter 2, 19 through 23, this is the third dream that came to Joseph and another fulfillment. But when Herod was dead, the evil at that point is now gone. Herod's dead. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, okay, Joseph, arise and take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And when he arose and took the child and his mother and came to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Achillas was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he departed for regions of Galilee and came and resided in the city called Nazareth. That what the prophets had spoken, for what was spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He shall be called a Nazarene. I mean, there's this whole, you know, when you go to seminary and you study theology and you think about and the big questions of life, I mean, in the midst of what we would look at, it is horrific. And when Herod finally dies, and Joseph goes back, and he's still afraid of Herod's kids, he goes, I better go to Nazareth. And God uses that to fulfill the prophecy that says, he's born in Bethlehem and will be from Nazareth. And can anything good come out of there? Yes. And I, you know, when we look back at, and we've got hindsight, you know, that's real clear. But when you read the, you know, and I was reading this morning, I'm like, I've read this, not a thousand times, but a lot. And when you listen to the news about what just happened, I'm like, oh my gosh. There's people that this Christmas will never be the same, ever. And where was God? And then I thought, you know, fortunately, Joseph listened. He listened. But my guess is it brought not only good memories, but it had to be tough. This had, you know, do we put him up on this pedestal? Like, he probably had great faith. Well, he heard a dream. He, you know, it was like, you know, if that was a real word, like wait, you know, instead of the traffic light, I would have, you know, I could have had started a healing ministry and make a bunch of money. But why did he, in the dream, he had to keep being safe? Don't be afraid. And then he gets back to Israel and he's still afraid. So he's just like, I mean, it's like you and I would be. And I, two things in conclusion to this thing. One is one of the songs we sang about, you know, that I will rise in the end. The good news is that she will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. That's us. There's finally hope. There's finally hope. We can look to the future. You know, and I, we joke about that, and I'm a worrier, and I still worry, and I'm still trying to learn to trust them. And I still worry. And I'm still afraid sometimes. Just like Joseph. And he heard dreams. He heard God talk to him audibly. I mean, I think we have God talking to us here, but he actually heard words in a dream. And he was still afraid. And it was just like, so where, if, two things. I remember hearing one time that, who's the Jewish guy that went through the Holocaust that he wrote several books about it. And he said it one day, all the Jews were standing at the, they brought them all outside and they hung three guys, three of them that were trying to escape. And he heard somebody behind him say, "Where is God? Where is God? What's that guy's name? Huh? Yeah." And he said, I remember saying to myself, right here. And I don't, you know, I don't claim that this would be easy for the people in Connecticut right now. But if people ask, where is God in this? According to this story, right in the middle. Right there. Do I understand that? Probably not like I should. Does it matter how much I understand of God? In one sense, you know. I just all was not so bright. And all was not so calm that night. So anyway, I mean, I just think when sometimes these Christmases Might be tough. But God's right in the middle. And he did this to save us from our sin. Let's pray together. Father, I do want to thank you for your word. And you know, there are times we may wish we would hear an audible voice. And yet, you have recorded these events to teach us about you, about how you can relate to the struggles and suffering and tears and struggles we have. Because you had to watch, you watched as evil and troubled times even surrounded the birth of your own son. And you still sent him to redeem us from our own sin. Father, as we leave this place, and we may get in conversation sometime about what has just happened that we can't explain. Father, give us words, give us tenderness, give us, help us to understand your heart and your love for this world, that we can somehow give us words to say, thoughts to think, as we move through this Christmas season and appreciate and enjoy the time that we have with our families and our friends. It's in your son's name I pray.